morning. I'm opening this meeting of the Joint Committee on Tax Expenditures. It's Friday, May 10th. There are two parts to our meeting this morning. I anticipate the meeting won't last as long as the time that was set aside on my calendar. The meetings will have more material in the future. The first task for us is to adopt committee rules. So I'm opening a work session for adoption of committee rules. The rules have been distributed. Mr. Alanak, do you want to talk to us about them?
Sure. Good morning, Madam Co-Chair, members of the committee. So just briefly, these are the standard joint committee rules that we have up in OLS. The one thing I did want to point out was for a quorum, everything is chamber-based. So to have a quorum for the committee, it has to be a quorum of Senate members as well as House members, not a majority of people. It's kind of a chamber perspective. Mm-hmm. But these are the standard rules.
Any questions? Discussion? Objections? Thank you. Rules are adopted, and the work session is closed. On adoption of rules, I'm opening an informational meeting to discuss our work plan. Mr. Alanak, back to you.
Okay, so there are two items up in OLS. One of them is the tax credit report that Kyle put together in the interim. And it contains the nine credits that were scheduled for review, that were scheduled to sunset and for review. And this is the work that policy committees focused on during the session. The other handout, so that's that full report. The other document is kind of an outline for the tax credits that are currently in the committee. The way the joint committee has operated over the years has varied from session to session, so we aren't locked into this is how we've always operated things. So what I was going to do just this morning, kind of briefly, was walk through this one-page handout as more or less a work plan for the committee. These are the tax credits, and there are a couple. There's a property tax expenditure in here, and the committee this time also has been, that's one difference, is that it's the Joint Committee on Tax Expenditures. In the past, it was the Joint Committee on Tax Credits. Mm-hmm. We had a number of tax expenditures that were sunsetting this session, so the name of the committee was changed just to allow for that in a little more transparent fashion. But talking about that table, at the top there we have eight credits and a subtraction. And the Cultural Trust Contributions Tax Credit, we have two bills that contain the extension of that tax credit. And then we have the revenue impact numbers there for the three biennia going out. One point of confusion for the revenue impacts is that they double in the second biennium. And generally, the reason for that is the tax credit sunset in the middle of a biennium. A biennium consists of 2 years, and so the Cultural Trust Contributions Credit, for example, for the 1921 biennium, if no law is changed, it's in effect this year for 19, and that would affect the 1921 biennium, basically when people file their tax returns next spring. So extending that tax credit in terms of cost for 1921 is just that first year. This is basically a credit that costs about $4 million a year. So for 1921, that cost to extend would be $4 million. But then in 21-23, it increases to about $8.5 million. Now, some of that is just regular year-over-year growth, but the big jump is because once we get into the next biennium, it's a two-year impact. So that's something to keep in mind about the longer-term impact of extending the tax credits. And that's a general rule throughout. And the way that tax credit works is for contributions made to the Cultural Trust, taxpayers can get a credit. The second item here, the Manufactured Dwelling Park Capital Gain Subtraction, it's not a tax credit. Again, getting back to why the committee is now Joint Committee on Tax Expenditures, is if depending on where a mobile park is sold, the capital gains, you can have a subtraction for those gains that would be taxed under the normal system. And there's also the next item is a tax credit for manufactured dwelling parks. We have two bills, a House bill and a Senate bill. And there can be a tax credit for the folks living in the park. And then we get to a retirement income tax credit for low income filers. And then the next item is a volunteer rural medical EMT credit for people who volunteer for those. The intent there is to reimburse them for some of their costs. And then we have an employer provided scholarship tax credit. That's for employers who create a scholarship program for employees. There's a tax credit to encourage that kind of program. And then a political contributions tax credit. This is one that was means tested a few years ago. And it's either a $50 or $100 tax credit for political contributions. And then we have an agricultural workforce housing construction tax credit. And this one is for the construction of ag worker housing. And then the last one on the list here is the earned income tax credit. So a couple things to point about this. These are generally the ones that were in the report. The crop donation isn't in this list. A couple of these tax credits are still on the way to the joint committee. I think House Bill, the retirement and the rural medical provider tax credits were just passed out of House Revenue yesterday, the House Bill 2133 and 2138. So those are on their way. And there might still be more tax credits coming to the committee in the next week or two. This is just what we have on the list so far. So in terms, just focusing on this as a first phase, we have the $68 million for the cost of extending the tax credits. And the way the committee has generally operated is within a budget that has been provided through conversations with the Ways and Means co-chairs. And I believe that number is $40 million right now. So there's a difference of about $28 million in just extending the current tax credits with the budget.
So in other words, we're already over budget.
That would be one way to look at it, yes. So, and then we get to the second half of these tax credits. And I might ask Kyle to come up and touch base on each one of those. He's more familiar with those individual tax credits. If you want to get into that detail, these are generally newer ones though.
So, you've told us about everything that would extend something, on the books right now, pretty much as is, without modification or without amendment. These, in the next section, though, for new or expansion, actually the question applies to all of them. If this committee were interested in extending or adding new tax expenditures, one way to balance the budget for tax expenditures is to convince joint Ways and Means to provide more money in the budget. Another way to balance our budget is to modify tax credits. When will those discussions be appropriate?
Well, generally, so that gets into the work plan over the next few weeks. I looked at last session and the Joint Committee on Tax Credits met, I think, about five times. So over the next few weeks. So that will be up to the committee, the co-chairs and the committee, on how you want to proceed in aligning the budget with the cost of the tax credits. And the frame of reference here is, I think you described it accurately, is the extenders. That's just, well, we're just going to continue to do what we've done in the past, and this is what it'll cost. So there's no change. And that's why we've separated this out into two groups. And there can be modifications to any of the tax credits. You can go for a proportional reduction in all of the tax credits to get down to the budget. You can not extend certain ones, depending on how the committee wants to move on those to fit in with the budget. As well as talking with Ways and Means about changing that for
Okay, so many individual choices, perhaps, perhaps. Senator Hass, do you have something you'd like to add?
No, I guess I would just ask committee members to start looking at prioritizing which one of these you want to renew, which one of the new ones you want to add, or which one of the old ones you want to let die, and look into the bag of existing tax credits or places to find potential revenues that you could take and apply to this so that, for example, we don't have to cut the earned income tax credit, which I know is very popular. So the mechanics, if we do this as we have in past years, would be sort of one omnibus bill, maybe two, but probably just one of puts and takes of where the money will come from. Here's what we will renew. Here are the new ones. Here's what's not on the list, and we'll sunset. So I guess just to get your mind working now on priorities.
Representative Reschke.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Chris, right now the budget for tax expenditures is $40 million. What is it? That's the current co-chair's estimate for the next biennium. What is the expenditure right now for this biennium? Do you have that number available, or could you get that to me?
We can get it. It's readily available. I just don't have it on my fingertips.
Okay, that'd be great, because I want to know. This is a big truck to drive through a narrow corridor, 140.2 million or built, yeah. And so I'm just trying to figure out. We have this budget of $40 million. Was it $80 million or $120 million or what's it been? What is it in this biennium?
Yeah, I'm thumbing through the.
Representative Reschke, all tax credits or all tax expenditures?
So we have all of those pieces in the tax credit report that's in OLIS right now on page 10. There's an overview of just the tax credits that we're talking about here.
Okay.
And that shows that these tax credits cost $131 million in 2017-19 and already cost, and the spend is already there for $67 million in this biennium, because that's the first year. And so then it's the other half of that, the $68 million. The numbers might be a little bit different, but the ballpark is the same. So these nine credits, we're talking about spending anywhere from $130 million to $150 million over the next couple of biennia. And most of that is the earned income tax credit.
Thank you.
Do you have information readily available? I think it's in a report I've seen easily linked from our materials to see which tax expenditures will be reviewed in the next biennium. What would be next up on the list for review?
Yes, we have. There's a standard document that we have that we can upload to OLIS, and we'll distribute that to the committee that shows all of the tax credits that are in this process.
Thank you. If it's all right with the committee, I'd like to ask Mr. Easton to come up and talk, or either up here or from down there, talk to us about some of these individual ones.
Good morning, respective chairs, members of the committee. Kyle Easton, Legislative Revenue Office. And just for clarity, did you want me to speak to the existing ones on the list, or kind of go through the ones that we have listed as new or expansion?
Newer expansion, please.
Okay.
And keeping in mind, this isn't the full list yet. There are bills still in committee that may be sent to this joint committee.
Yeah, Madam Chair, and that's definitely a good point. These are the ones that have been identified as in the committee right now. Also included there was Senate Bill 430 as that one we were expecting would be coming as well to the committee too. So that's why it's in there, but you wouldn't see that necessarily in OLIS. And in terms of where these measures have come from that are listed here, they could be originating out of a policy committee with coming directly to the Joint Committee on Tax Expenditures. In many cases on the Senate side, that was the how it worked through the processes. Primarily, these were coming from a policy committee and then going directly to the Joint Committee on Tax Expenditures. So there's a good chance the Senate bills that are listed here under the income tax category haven't been heard in a revenue committee yet. So certainly there are, and I can't remember the specific ones, but there are a few of these that even in their current form would probably be considered incomplete. They may have, like as the House Revenue Committee heard just, I think it was yesterday, sometimes there are measures that have an annual limit on what the tax credit would be. A lot of times that might be an unspecified amount initially, with that amount and saying, okay, we're going to limit it to $2 million or $4 million per year. So there could be cases where the measures that are on that list aren't necessarily fully prepared to just be worked out as is. So just kind of a note there that a lot of times these are just simply the introduced version of the measures. But so the first one is just Senate Bill 114. The House Committee heard a little bit about this, as this is a second part of a House bill related to the ag worker housing. And this is the credit that we have in place right now that's up for review is about construction costs of this ag worker housing. What's in Senate Bill 114 is a refundable credit for the ongoing operational costs for similar ag worker housing. So it's kind of a secondary part, if you will, of that. What we have right now is construction. This one is related to the ongoing cost to operate it. The shipping container donation credit, that is one that's donating shipping containers for storage of emergency supplies. The example given is what's been put in place is this has been used at schools in certain cases. I believe on the coast where they are storing emergency supplies in the shipping container that's on the school land or on public land. So that's a requirement of it, but it's just a credit for companies that are donating these shipping containers.
I'm going to interrupt you now and ask a question, since I don't recall a discussion about this being involved directly in a discussion before now. So this is a refundable tax credit. Is there a program that exists in some program area of our budget that helps subsidize the purchase and distribution of shipping containers for this purpose, like a grant? You mentioned schools, so something from education, maybe something from the military department because of the Office of Emergency Management, or some other agency. Do we not have a program that would be going through budget review to help achieve the same purpose?
Yeah, Coach Nathanson, on this particular one, I've only begun reviewing some of the process there. I would think there could be a way through like emergency management or the funds available. I think the discussion on this one is really about, in many cases, these are being donated containers, so that's the key thing, but it is the cost of just delivering them. Mm-hmm. A lot of these are coming from the Portland metro area around the port and such, so it's just the cost of getting them out to, say, the school.
Okay.
So the example here was just to get them out to the coast, and the credit, the refundable credit, was just to help offset those costs of actually delivering the donated property there. So in that case, I guess it'd be through the Ways and Means process would be just trying to help schools pay for, I suppose, the delivery charges or something to that effect. And one thing I should note is on these secondary, the newer expansion, some of these our office hasn't really even looked at to much extent. The reason that we have a to be determined there is many of these received, or all of these received, a revenue light statement, which is just our way of giving a revenue impact statement to allow the bill to move out of the policy committee to the revenue committee, which is where usually that discussion takes place. In some cases, we may try to give some indication, is this going to be an order of magnitude expensive, not so expensive? If we know immediately it's going to be minimal, we'll usually give that, but sometimes there is definitely more analysis to be done to just sort of grab the available data and see if we can find where that revenue impact is going to land. So that, just in a sense of not all of these have really been looked into to a great extent, I suppose, by our staff at this time.
Thank you.
But so I guess moving down the list, if that's just okay. Senate Bill 717, this is contributions to the Higher Education Savings Network. So this is the 529 education savings account. And I believe the discussions that have been ongoing have also would also include the ABLE account. But again, this is both committees, I think, have heard from different proposals by Treasury relating to changing the structure of the existing law subtraction for 529 programs from contributions to a 529. We right now have an income tax subtraction, but adjusting that away to make it a credit to try to make it more accessible to perhaps more moderate income taxpayers. But so that's a little bit ongoing. I think that Senate Bill 717 is probably still considered more of a placeholder of the language than what is actually where the discussion is today. The next one, the rural nurse faculty members. Again, I think this is working a little bit off of we have a credit in place for rural medical practitioners. So it's working in a similar manner of just trying to provide another way to extra compensation, if you will, for nurse faculty members in these rural areas. The Senate Bill 790 is changing to the existing law we have on the IDA program, the Individual Development Account program, and that would be adjusting, again, this is current law right now that we have, but the change here is expanding the credit. So it's expanding the overall annual limit and then the percentage value of the credit as well. So that's an expansion of an existing credit, and this IDA credit is one that would be up for review in 2021 right now. So it is on schedule to be reviewed the following or the next long session. The next one we have is the historic property contributions. Again, this is just, we have a few credits on the books similar to this, where it's just, it's offsetting, or you make a contribution, you get a credit to help encourage people to make that type of contribution donation.
Thank you. Representative Smith.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I just wanted to let everyone know in a moment I'll be leaving for the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. In no way does that reflect my disinterest in this subject. We have a couple of important budget bills that I have to go vote on, so I'm hoping I can be excused.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
The last one there, I think, was the nursing clinical preceptors. And again, this is similar to some of the other bills we have, is just in encouraging or finding a way to give a credit to increase the compensation in a way through the tax system, at least, of the specified nursing preceptors, I suppose. And then the last ones we have there are, we have one under property tax exemption of low-income rental housing. So this is one that is a standard property tax exemption that is up for review. So it had an existing law sunset, and it is in the committee. So that's where that one comes from. And then the final bill is just Senate Bill 189. And probably the key there is it's modifying the definition of tax expenditures, but it has a broad enough relating to clause that, as Chris has mentioned, certainly in the past, this committee has, in some cases, used a single bill to move the different provisions at the end. So that would be our bill right now that we have as a placeholder that has a relating to clause broad enough to make any changes to any of the tax expenditures you see and included there in an omnibus bill.
Thank you. Representative Marsh, you mentioned something.
I don't think I heard, I think we skipped over 964, the contributions to a community agency. I was just interested in that.
Yeah, sorry, I think I did. Yeah, I did miss that one, Representative Marsh. So the contributions, this again is a credit. I believe in this case, there is an overall limit, and there's three community agencies in which you could make a contribution to. And again, it's just a credit to incentivize that, making that contribution. Mm-hmm. And again, this is one, other than quickly scanning the bill, definitely prepare more analysis if the committee would like to hear more about this and put together revenue impact estimates as well.
That's a good time to recall what Senator Haas advised us a few minutes ago, which is it's time for us to start thinking about which of these we would prioritize, because we'll have to be mindful of asking Legislative Revenue Office to work on every single one of these just because someone might be interested, versus there's a significant amount of interest in one but does need a lot of work. It would take amendments and analysis on the impact and so forth. Representative Findley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I this is a two-part question. Is we, with the property tax line of Senate Bill 737, we're mixing local county dollars and taxing district dollars on the totals with state revenue, which may make it a little cumbersome if we're coming to a bottom line. But more importantly, I think we should, if we were to work this list today, and we finish another couple of weeks of other House and Senate business, we'll add back to the list, and we won't have a good look at what we're really doing. And, you know, to have a good comparative analysis on, say, what are good tax credits or tax expenditures and what are not, because I know there are several other, I mean, we have parallel bills to some of these in the House. There are some shoreline tax credit measures floating around. So if we were to come and balance our numbers now, and then we'll just simply keep moving bills towards this body, I think we'd incrementally not do a very good job. We should do it as a holistic look. But I agree with Chair Ass. I mean, we need to start looking at a better window. I mean, I know that we worked a bill in the EITC that significantly increased that number, and that will quickly gobble up our balance. So, mm-hmm. So.
Representative Bresky.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. And just Representative Findley's point, do we know, or do we have a date in mind when we'll know the universe of tax expenditures we have to consider? Because we can go through and prioritize, and as more jump in, we can say, oh, wait, now my list changes. So I'm just trying to get an understanding. Do we have 80%? Do we have 90%? Do we have 50% of the expenditures we expect to be prioritizing?
So the bills would be coming from either the House, at this point, would either be coming from House revenue or Senate revenue. And I don't have an exact percentage, but I would say 80 to 90% in okay. terms of what I'm familiar with the work plan for Senate finance and revenue and House revenue.
Okay.
There are a couple, the short line was mentioned. There might be another half a dozen or so that are out there.
Just a quick follow-up.
And it would be up to House Revenue Committee, for example, for those in our purview right now to determine whether we wanted a work session to move it out. The committee may not move it out. It's not an automatic assumption that if we have a public hearing, obviously we're moving it out and sending it to this committee. Representative Bresky.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. So my question may not be an exact one because it's based on a percentage. So what's the percentage of the universe that we have here now? Because one bill like the Earned Income Tax Credit that we're considering in House revenue is $200 million. So that one bill alone could change, if it came to this committee, could have a dramatic impact on how things are prioritized. So I guess, you know, I'm not rescinding my question or thoughts, but just having I'm just trying to find out when we'll have 100% of the universe in front of us in which to consider.
Senator Ness.
Thank you. I think that's an astute question. I think we'll have that by next week or two.
Okay.
And the way I would look at this is a menu, like in a right. restroom. Right now, we've got about $68 million if we renew everything, and more if we pick some things, but we've only got $40 million to spend.
Yeah.
So that $40 million, or whatever the number is, really important for this committee, because
yeah.
if we don't have a number, then there's no discipline at all.
Right.
Mm-hmm. In kind of the reform that we did some years ago, you guys were still in college, but I was down here. And,
I don't believe so, sir.
The idea was the tax credits, there was, you know, the Ways and Means process has discipline. You have finite dollars and you have to make hard choices. But tax credits, you know, even though they had the same effect on the Treasury, you know, we just renewed whatever felt good. And so this process that started in 2013, finally put some discipline into how we regulate tax breaks.
It's a good thing.
And it is 2009, by the way. 2009. And so we have it. So this is a hard one because I don't think we've ever been in this situation where we're so far below what the cost would be, and that's primarily because of the earned income tax credit. And so, like I said, put our thinking caps on.
Good point. Thank you.
Senator Taylor.
Thank you. I just have a few questions, if I may, Madam Chair. So one, for the House Bill 2664, the House Bill, I guess 197, that's associated with it, and then we have the 196, the ones that say minimal, are we just assuming that those will go, that we will be passing those because, for those who support them, I mean, just because they're minimal, well, that is, I mean, is this it says minimal, so it's not adjusting the, it's not affecting the bottom line, so it's just really a policy choice of us, if we agree with what happened in the policy committee.
I believe what you're saying is correct. I wouldn't assume anything is automatic. If we agree with the policy, mm-hmm. and we think the policy is still achieving an important end, okay. and it's worth it to keep this on the books, then we would extend it. If we think there's no use for it anymore, or there's a potential for being used in a different way, or the impact growing in the future, then maybe we wouldn't extend it. Each one is up for discussion on its own merits.
Okay, so follow up, please.
Yes.
So if it's minimal, then does that mean, I'm just trying to understand the minimal within this context. Does that mean people aren't really utilizing it very much? It's not costing very much? And then if those were the case, if it's not being used very much, is then...
Senator Taylor, yeah, the minimal reflects what we put out in the revenue impact statement, but there could be, for these ones in particular, with the manufactured dwelling park, mm-hmm. in some cases, these are set up for closures in manufactured dwelling parks. So we could look back years, and there has been times when closures have happened, and then the use mm-hmm. comes up more. One of their credits is a $5,000 refundable credit for when a manufactured park closes, and then it helps those people that are displaced to then find other housing. So if we were to see another instance where a number of parks, or even one large park closes, all of a sudden that credit does get used. But it has been a number of years since we've seen these ones. So that's where they're minimal right now. As best as we can tell, they'll be minimal in the future. But there is that potential that something could happen in outer years, yeah.
Okay, because when I scrolled down, it looked like it hadn't been used in quite some time. So I was wondering what the back... So thank you for that. But then for the ones that are in the extending category... Will adjustments to that be allowed? Meaning, if we wanted to, for example, increase the EITC and reduce something else, I won't name anything. Is that still an option, Madam Chair?
Yes.
And then the last question, I'm a little bit confused about the rural nurse faculty members, the nursing clinical preceptors, and I think you asked about this as well, Representative Nathanson, but the program that when I was on the General Government Subcommittee in Ways and Means, there is an established program already for medical providers in rural Oregon. Is that not extend to, I'm a little confused about how the nursing interacts with that, how it fits into the larger program, because there are other, it may not be looking, the assistance may not look exactly like this, but there's other forms of assistance that are going on for rural medical providers, and I don't know the details of those, so I'm just trying to understand. I don't know if that's something
you... That's right. A few years ago, loan repayment, loan forgiveness, tax credit, several different kinds of incentives were packaged together, and there was a budget given to basically the Health Policy Board. I believe it's the Health Workforce Committee that reviews them, to determine how to spend a budget of a finite amount among those different kinds of incentives. These may be some that were not included in that big package.
So I guess I would just want to get more, a little bit more information about those two and see how they intersect. It's not that I don't, these all, I mean, everything seems great, and that's not my saying that I support or not support. It's just that if there's significant other types of support happening in other ways, that may influence at least my prioritizing of giving assistance there if there's other help in there. Whereas if there's something else that's not receiving any assistance at all, then maybe that would have a higher priority.
Thank you.
Senator Taylor, just to that point, one of the things we include in the tax credit report, but this is only for those that would be labeled the extenders,
right,
is we've worked with Legislative Fiscal Office as well to try to have them identify programs that have a similar group that's being addressed or receiving some sort of, whatever it is, the credit is, receiving some similar level support through the direct spending. So that is included in the report for the extenders, and that's a similar type of thing we could do for these other credits, excuse me, that are up for review, is that type of thing, to have LFO help us identify direct spending that is maybe touching on the same group that the credit would be.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, please do.
To the last question, this is not for practitioners, this is for
instructors.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, so I'm certainly not claiming to be any kind of expert on it at all. I just remember that there is a certain amount of, there's different programs that exist. So I'm just trying to understand how this intersects and why, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The purpose of the effort that you're recalling was about recruitment, training, recruitment, and retention. Mm-hmm. And these are related overall generally to the objective of having an adequate supply of practitioners in the workforce, yeah. Training, recruitment, and retention. Other questions on this list? There's more to come.
When's our next meeting?
Next Friday?
That would be up to the committee. We don't have anything scheduled. Our time slot is Fridays at this. We could schedule that next week, or we could assess and wait until we have a full list of all the tax expenditures.
It might be best to wait until we're sure that we have the full list.
Okay. Decide by early right? Next week, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Wait. Yes.
Early next week, Tuesday.
Yes. Else for today. Thank you all.
We're adjourned.